ding ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Good morning and welcome to one of the last Daily Dings of the regular season. I am Jared Weiss. He's Mode Tequil. Brian Smith is on the boards. And we actually, despite it being the end of the season, we actually have an exciting game to talk about. And then another exciting game to talk about. And then a board game to talk about. So let's start with what mattered the most. And that was Celtics versus Bucks. Winner gets a seized control of the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference and gets the lucky opportunity to maybe play the Brooklyn Nets in the first round. And the Bucks, they pulled it off. They win 127-121 in a game in which the Celtics, even though they were down Jason Tatum, Al Horford, and of course Rob Williams, still nearly pulled it out.
Yeah, it was almost like the Celtics did not want to win this game, Jared, and wanted to avoid having the 2 seed. But it also felt like Milwaukee did not want to win this game and wanted to avoid the 2 seed. It was a very interesting game in the sense of it was a really lackluster kind of performance from the Bucks through most of the game. Got to give credit to the Celtics. So Marcus Smart shot the hell out of the ball, going 7-12 from 3 for 29 points. You had Jaylen Brown going with a triple-double. Like, those guys wanted to play. Those guys wanted to win. Like, they were playing hard. They were going at it quite a bit. It was pretty interesting to see just kind of the way it worked out. But then just down the stretch in the fourth quarter, they couldn't hold on, and they had so many turnovers, Jared.
Jaylen Brown dribbling it off of George Hill's foot. I mean, Daniel Tice, they ran a great play with like 40 seconds left where they didn't need any clock, and Daniel Tice misses the wide open layup with Giannis behind him. I mean, Tice looked devastated. Like, it did not look like they were trying to blow this one.
Tice was crushed. I just want to let him relax for a moment, because it was Giannis behind him, right? And Giannis is a scary dude, so I can understand the nervousness of like, oh crap, I gotta get this up, and he blows the layup. So was a little bit heartbroken, but also it was a 3-point game at that point, so it wasn't like that would have taken the lead or anything. Would have just brought them in, pulled them in closer and things like that. A little bit tougher there, but I'm gonna give him a break. But hey, got a lot of good play from guys. Peyton Pritchard giving you a nice little 20 minutes tonight, 5-for-10 off the bench. Hauser, which, by the way, I'll be honest, didn't really know who the hell he was till before tonight. you know, nice little 11 points. Had himself a nice little game with some of those opportunities. So,
and that was a homecoming game for him, too. He's a Wisconsin kid. There were literally pregame, there was a reporter asking about Sam Hauser. I'm like, that hasn't happened all year yet.
So he's been there all year?
Oh, he was their two-way guy that got promoted to the full roster. He's the future of this franchise.
There we go. And you know what? He looked it tonight with his 11 points in 18 minutes. But just, hey, but jokes aside, like, this was a good fight for them in that sense. And that's kind of just what the Celtics have done pretty much not all season, but in this run that they've had. They've constantly fought. They've constantly battled. This was easily a game that they could have just rolled over without Tatum, without Horford, obviously without Williams, and they continued to fight through it. Like, I was pretty impressed with their performance. Bucks, like, that was just sloppy.
Okay, well, the theme of this episode is MVP, because this is our last chance to see all the MVP candidates going at the same time between Giannis, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Sam Hauser, now entering the conversation for you. You know, you had them all going, and so we're starting with Giannis in this one. He had 29 points, 11 for 21 shooting, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. That's honestly like the most normal Giannis stat line imaginable. But how are you feeling about Giannis's MVP case after this game?
This is what it felt like. I don't feel like it really improved it. It didn't hurt it. But I've also thought for the past week or so, I thought he is the MVP. And I know that might drive people nuts. There's also a couple more games. Things could change. But I feel like Giannis has kind of moved into, at least in my opinion, as the front runner. He would get my vote if I had one. The NBA smart. They don't let me vote. Very smart of them. And I just think the way he plays, though, just on both ends of the court, he had a big-time block on Jaylen Brown, who tried to come through the lane and bang on him down the stretch, and he refused there. The play on Tice, defense kind of recovering, and just the threat of him scared him into making him miss the layup. For me, it's still Giannis.
It's funny. I forget who it was. Somebody had a great tweet where they're saying, how stupid is it that the NBA media is probably going to vote for somebody to win MVP because they have a better VORP, and how like they're obsessed with metrics and all that stuff, and which is ironic. I guess it's kind of a good thing that people are taking that into account, but it's about Jokic, and that Jokic is numbers are so off the charts with his offensive playmaking. And then you have Giannis, who is a great scorer, a very good playmaker, but his defense is just so far beyond what Jokic is doing. So how much do you think Giannis's offense is in that realm this year that the defense works as a tiebreaker for him?
It's hard because the thing is, Jokic has been really good defensively as well. I feel like he's dropped off a little bit in the second half of the season on the defensive end to a degree, but he's had a good season there with everything. But I think at the end of the day, when you look at it, two-way player, the plays that Giannis has made, the stretch that they had, and you know, the Bucks are right there in the second seed right now. Like, it's pretty impressive with everything that they've done. To me, it's Giannis. By the way, all three of these guys are deserving. So before anybody goes completely nuts and lose their minds, they're all deserving. As long as Sam Hauser doesn't win the MVP, like, I'm fine.
Oh, wow. Your favorite player not winning it. That'd be disappointing. Yeah, this is definitely one of the best MVP races we've had in a long time. Producer Brian just sent us a wolf emoji in the chat. I don't know what that means, but I assume he's upset that we're not including Cat among the MVP candidates. Or maybe Ant, who had, 49 points in this game? 49 on 60 for 28. Oh, no coyotes. That's right. I'm recording in the woods in Arizona right now. We're hoping a coyote doesn't eat me. So
the correction, let's move on. Correction. You're hoping a coyote doesn't eat you. I'm hoping for some amazing content of a coyote attacking. There's a difference.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
You know, honestly, if there's a little bit of bloodshed on this pod, it would be very on brand for the next team, the Toronto Raptors. They win 119-114 over the Philadelphia 76ers, who had a 15-point lead in the first quarter. Pascal Siakam, actually, kind of maybe you could argue, is making a late push into the outer skirts of the MVP conversation. He had 37 points, 11 boards, 12 dimes. I mean, this guy's been absolutely unbelievable in the second half of the season. And Gary Trent Jr. had 30 points of his own.
I know we kind of talking about this today is our theme of MVP guys. But no, this was Pascal Siakam's claim to an all-NBA spot.
Oh, for sure.
The way he played tonight was him just saying, looking at all the voters in the eyes, every single one of you guys, and again, I'm not one of them, but looking at every single one of them and saying, I better get a spot. I've earned it. I deserve it. The way he played down the stretch in this game, Jared, it was unbelievable. It got to the point where the Sixers switched Embiid onto him, And from there, he just, hey, I'm going to hang out outside. And it opened up the paint for the rest of the Raptors to kind of attack. Just overall, an unbelievable performance from Siakam. And even though this was Embiid and we're talking MVPs, you got to look at it and just say, man, Pascal making the case of an All-NBA spot.
By the way, I'm pretty sure I just heard a coyote.
Yes, come on.
Is Siakam not considered a lock for All-NBA? I thought that was an obvious one.
I have no idea. Here's the good thing about the NBA. This is the good news for the NBA. There's probably about 20 guys deserving for an All-NBA spot when there's 15 of them, right? Like, that's kind of like a lot of great talent across the league with everything that's going across and things like that. So the NBA is in good shape if we're looking at it going like, hey, man, Pascal might make it, might not, but like, it's close. So, you know, to me, it's not close. He should have a spot.
All right, then we won't call it close. Joel Embiid, 30 points, 10 for 22 shooting, 10 for 12 from the line, 10 boards, 5 turnovers.
Yeah, this was a bad night. I mean, he had one turnover. It felt like he threw it 3 feet above, I think it was George's Niang's head. Like,
Niang, yeah.
It was pretty wild with some of these turnovers. And honestly, this is the thing about Embiid's MVP case. In the games that they've needed to win down the stretch, they have not been able to win them. Right, and this is a game in Toronto. This is potentially a first-round playoff matchup. Even though he put up big numbers, he wasn't able to power them into the win. And I know some of it has to do with when he goes to the bench, the team kind of falls off and everything like that. But still, you look at it and you're saying, like, you guys got to have better fight than this. Down the stretch, it's a big problem for them. And they got to start figuring out how they're going to do this. This is going to make for a very interesting first-round playoff series if these two teams play, especially because no Matisse Thybulle in Toronto.
Who they really need. They really, really need him in that series. You got Fred VanVleet. Honestly, he might end up on Siakam at some point. Gary Trent Jr. at 30 points. You're going to need him on that at some point. Yeah, this is just like with Boston. It's not clear if all their guys are going to be available. And that's another team that could be facing them. Right now, Boston's lined up in the 3 seed. So they're half a game back behind Milwaukee in the 2 spot, half a game ahead of Philadelphia, who is in the 4 spot and is lined up with Toronto currently. It looks like Toronto's probably sitting in that 5 spot. Chicago is going to be stuck in that 6. So right now it's Boston, Chicago, and then Philly versus Toronto. Do you think Philly is in legit, whatever the opposite of chance is, legit not chance of beating Toronto if Matisse Thybulle can't play there?
Do you speak English? At all?
I English speak. Okay, can they beat Toronto? Can Toronto beat them? It's a mess. The rules screw me up, man. Can Toronto beat them if Matisse Thybulle can't play in Toronto?
I think they can. I don't think if you're the Sixers, you can take this for granted. You know, look, Toronto, long as hell. Several different wings that are all the same size. This was without OG Anunoby, without Fred VanVleet tonight. I think you're looking at it going like, they can cause some real problems for the Sixers. And you got to get a better performance from James Harden. Yeah, he had 15 assists. He was awesome diming it out. He also went 3 for 12 from the field. Like, that's tough, right? You're going to need more from him on that end. It's just, it can't be all on Embiid having to do everything. The Sixers are going to have to figure out how to get James going. And this is a tough matchup. And this is a big blow. They blew this game. They had a chance to be tied with the Bucks for the 2nd seed right now if they win this game and would have moved Boston down to 4. But now they're in a risk where, hey, if they lose the next 2 and Toronto wins the next 2, Toronto might be sitting at the 4 seed and have home court advantage.
It's amazing how these teams, they don't want number 2. They don't want Brooklyn. They don't want number 4 because then they get Toronto and they can't play other guys. The battle for the 3 seed, it's the hottest we've had in years. Last thing on the MVP race, we got to finish with Jokic. I don't know why I called him Jokic. He was that good that you can't even say his name right. He had 35 points on 16 for 24 shooting, 16 boards, 6 dimes, and he had 5 steals in a 122-109 win over Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, they came out and just sort of smacked Memphis, right? And I felt like, you know, Aaron Gordon had a big first quarter, kind of got things going. Jokic just, it's Jokic. He does unbelievable stuff every time he's on the court, right? Like, he's out there diming folks, getting boards, putting up big points tonight. Like, this is just, I've run out of things to say about the dude. He's incredible, Jared.
He's not bad. He's got a good VORP from what I hear. EPM, fantastic. PER, pretty solid. He's been great. I mean, it's so much fun watching him run the offense. Tonight was weird because they were wearing those weird, like, kind of white and off-red jerseys, and he was wearing the headband too, so he kind of just looked like Like, he looks like a computer, like an old 80s graphics computer character. It's very weird.
Yeah, Jokic, lose the headband, dude. That thing didn't work for you. It was weird. I'm used to not seeing you all season with the headband. Now you have the headband. It kind of messed me up there a little bit. And for me, this is a selfish call here. Lose the headband. It wasn't working for you.
All right, so Denver, they remain in the sixth. They are a game behind Utah at that five seed. With two games left, they're a game and a half over Minnesota. So it looks like they got a good shot at staying at six there. But so they are matched up with the Warriors. The Mavs and the Jazz are matched up as it stands. Do you think Denver has a chance to upset the Warriors? Steph isn't fully healthy. Draymond is kind of in that weird phase where you don't really know where Draymond's at.
I mean, yeah. Like, why not, right? Like, the way Jokic is playing at the level that he's playing, he could be the best player in that series. Curry, we have no idea when he's coming back and how healthy he'll be when he comes back and what that looks like. Like, there's a lot of question marks for the Warriors there. And with Jokic, there's not a lot of question marks for him. We know what he's going to do. It's, can the other guy step up and knock down shots and defend at that level? But it's going to be a very interesting and challenging scenario there. That's a tough series. We're heading for some great first-round playoff matchups just across the board in both conferences.
Oh, it's going to be fun. By the way, I'm sorry, the standings haven't updated yet because that game literally just ended. So they only have one game left. They're a half game behind Utah now. So they're close. They are close. And that's going to do it for us. We're close to the end of the regular season. We will be back for you on Monday with, we got, I guess, two games left for regular season. Come back on Monday, then we got play-in games, and then we got the playoffs. It's going to be a lot of fun coming ahead here on The Ding and the Athletic NBA Show. So for Mo DeKeel, I'm Jared Weiss. Brian Smith is producing. This is The Daily Ding.
No coyotes?
No coyotes.
Oh, ding ding.